The wonderful Paul Simon there with Graceland. All right, summer has arrived, despite what the weather may look like today in Dublin anyway. And with it can often come those dreaded summer pests. So how can we avoid any unwanted visitors in our homes? Joining me now is author of Gaff Goddess and Decor Galore, Laura de Barra. Good afternoon, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
I am great. Not a bother. You keeping well?
I am. It's nice and sunny here in London, so I'm just enjoying that.
Good. Well, let's get straight into it. Like, what kind of pests are people seeing at this time of the year particularly?
So I think like the main two that people see, fruit flies and then moths. I often get contacted about at this time of year because this is when you start to see them flying around. Mainly because like you've probably opened your wardrobe and you're digging into the back of it, pulling out stuff from summer.
Yes.
And then you're realising that stuff maybe you haven't worn in a while or haven't moved in a while has released a moth. And people often think that it's just about kind of like killing the moths that you see and then that's the end of it. But they're the moths that you don't need to worry about. Those ones don't have like mouths. They just have little straw holes. So they're not eating your clothes. It's their larvae that's currently on the garments that you have.
Okay.
So that can be a big issue this time of year. So the main thing to do, I think, with all summer pests, they're there for a reason in our world. Like they're even fruit flies and things like that. Like they're scientists love a fruit fly because they've shared so many genetics with us that has to do with a lot of like genetic diseases. So they end up being studied a lot. So you just want to keep them out of your home and annoying you rather than just killing every single one that you see. So a lot of the times you just have to establish why they're coming into your home in the first place.
Okay.
So an example now is
let's concentrate on fruit flies first because that's a big one here. Like, so what's attracting them in the first place?
Anything fermented, because they're not going, oh, that's stunning, I'll have a little bite of that there. Anything that's got fermentation going on is perfect for them to lay their eggs, and then it can hatch within like a piece of rotting fruit. It doesn't have to even be that much moisture. It can just be like a tiny layer of beer at the end of a can, your drains, things like that.
Okay.
So it's rather than people being like, oh God, the fruit flies are just attracted to the fruit. They're actually just going, oh, stunning. I can just hatch a few eggs in there. So what you want to make sure, because sometimes people just remove the piece of fruit that they're on or whatever, but they could have already have like nested a few eggs inside there. So what you want to do is keep anything that's fermenting, like fruit is just decaying anyway after it's been picked. You want to keep that in the fridge. When you keep it in the fridge, keep it away from your salads because they're ethylene producers in a big way and they can make things like leaves and lettuce and cucumbers go off really quickly. So keep them in a crisper box where they're able to just do their thing. Fruit bowls, if you want to keep your fruit out, like sometimes people have a busy kitchen, kids that they want to be able to just grab their food as they go, they don't have to ask every time. Just make sure you're washing that bowl out every single day and rinsing the fruit before you're eating it. When it comes to drains, if you cannot figure out where you've got fruit flies, it could be your drains. I would tape like a sandwich bag or similar over a drain at nighttime. And when you come out in the morning, if there's flies inside that bag, kind of crumple it up a bit so they get caught in there. You'll know it's your drains. To clear that, you want to get rid of anything that's kind of fermenting down the drain. So that would be vinegar and bicarb, 50-50. You don't want them to do anything. You want them just to fizz against each other. That'll kind of rattle the drain through and then some hot water down after it. And then your bin, just keep it closed, wipe it down, clean it more than you would normally. And make sure you keep your bin out of direct sunlight or away from your hot appliances. So I see people put like their food bin, you know, that
their
they'll
compost
put into compost
bin. Yeah.
On top of their dishwasher on the counter. And it actually just heats the food up all the time. Like we have nowhere else, where else to put it in our kitchen but above the dishwasher. So we just take it off anytime the dishwasher's on. Same with the washing machine. Even the cupboard under the sink is usually next to the washing machine and the dishwasher, and that'll heat up every time that appliance goes on. So you just want to be careful of things like that in summer. Then to trap the flies that are coming in, if you get rid of anything that's attracting them, eventually they will go. But if you've got some in there now, you don't want to use loads of plastic. Just get apple cider vinegar, which to them is just like the Holy Grail. Pop that into a jar or a glass, make a cone with paper and just with a tiny little opening in it, a little bit of squirt of washing up liquid, because that will create a sticky film at the top of the apple cider vinegar. They'll be attracted by that. They'll fly in. They won't be able to come back out. That should kind of cull anything for now. But you want to mainly, instead of just killing flies all the time, just get rid of what they're after.
Okay. All right. So that's our fight. And is that specifically for fruit flies?
Because blue bottles
are another big problem that we have as well this time of the year.
I think they're more after rubbish. Like fruit flies get their name fruit flies because they like to basically put their eggs into fruit. Mm-hmm. So with blue balls and stuff like that, that's mainly just rubbish. You just want to make sure that you're, like with our flats here, like there's in London, there's like a big problem with loads of flies because there's so many bins all over the place. I have just like a I'm a mesh curtain in front of my windows, so I can still keep the windows open. It still looks fine. I'm still getting enough daylight, but it's stopping them coming in. Like, you don't have to keep all your windows closed. Make sure that you keep lids on your bins. Make sure that you're changing your bins more in the summer than in the winter. Things like that will keep it at bay as well. If you have like outdoor bins, just keep them far away from your doors and windows.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about ants then.
Yes.
Because we're out in the gardens a lot more. And actually, I've just got a text in here. Last year we had flying ants on a few occasions. We had to cancel a barbecue as they were so bad. There seems to be a lot of ants in a patio area between two rockeries. The patio is made of small bricks. The ants are under a few pots on the patio. My neighbours don't seem to have as many as we have. How can we keep the ants from flying or get rid of them altogether? I'm put off gardening because of them.
Well, usually like with anything like this, it's preventing really easy accessible food sources for them, because they can be super annoying. You're not going to sit down and enjoy a barbecue when there's ants basically flying and mating all around you. That's why they start like flying.
So is that why they start flying?
That a lot of the times, that's like a certain type of ant is just like different kind of like colonies of ants just getting together, and you're having like a barbecued burger in the middle of it all.
Wow!
So you kind of want to avoid a bit of that. So and again, you don't want to just be like become like a mass murderer of ants in your home. You know what I mean? So because we need these things to keep on going with other kind of ecosystems and stuff like that. So you just want to make sure that you're not the girl that's feeding them. So usually it's a damp, dark place with some kind of food source, like a rotting wood, like a rockery would make sense. A lot of times it's when people are putting down different types of soils and stuff like that, adding it onto rockeries. And some of them have dried bark in it, and that can attract them. So you want to just make sure that you're figuring out where the main kind of colony of the ants is, and you're cleaning that up or filling it up or filling in the gap in the patio that they're coming from. People often will like pour boiling water down there and stuff like that, but you're going to have to keep on doing that. You want to get rid of why they're being attracted. It's nature. They will go somewhere else.
And that,
if you kind of clear it up.
And that goes for indoors as well, because ants indoors in the summer is a problem too, right?
Yeah, and like it's so easy to like caulk or silicone up gaps, especially if you're in a ground floor flat. You'll find spiders and ants this time of year, and September as well. It can get really, really bad. So you just want to close up any gaps and just get rid of anything that's attracting them. You'll often find as well with flying ants, if you just suddenly get it and you're like, I need to get rid of them now, I'm about to have dinner, if you spray water and washing up liquid, that is a really good non-toxic, like non-harmful way to just like spritz the air. Harmful to you, obviously harmful to the flying ants, but like if you just want a quick fix, but then do it, just basically sort why they're coming to your garden.
Mm. And you know, you see them a lot, those coils, when you're on holidays, specifically for flies and mosquitoes when you're eating out. Like if we are in the garden, do those repellent coils and the candles work for flies and ants here?
They can. The thing is, there's different things on the market now. Citronella candles, for example, are like, they can be a bit of a farce, because sometimes they're just yellow candles or like they have a really small percentage of the essential oil that's in there. So what that does is it actually, mosquitoes come around because they can like, oh my God, the smell of humans, this is divine, I need this blood. So if you have citronella candles lighting, it's stronger and they hate the smell of it than your scent.
Okay, so that's what you're doing. So it masks the human smell.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you have one tiny candle with a tiny bit of the oil in it, what's she doing? Not very much other than an atmosphere. So you want to add enough. You want to make sure that you're reading up on it, specialist brands, not just kind of like a supermarket one where they've just put it out because it's the time of year and they know it's going to sell. Then there's also ones that are like chargeable ones that you can put out that you fill it up probably every summer. Like you can get different fillers for it. And those you can basically plug in, charge, and then put them on top. If you don't want to use a lot of candles, they can be quite good because they're a bit more advanced. Sometimes some experts say that the citronella candles just aren't strong enough. And then also it's a lot of wastage each time. So it can be better to buy a device instead that emits a repellent that's not harmful to us, but is harmful to pests that are around. And it doesn't kill them. It just repels them.
Rather than
having something where you're hearing a fly hit an electric kind of like circuit every time.
Well, do you know what I've seen before is in where restaurants and they burn coffee at the table. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of similar to, like, you know, when you're doing perfume testing and you kind of clear your nose by sniffing coffee. It's a really strong smell and it can eliminate odours. You're just creating a scent that's stronger than a human scent.
Okay. All right, Laura de Barra, as always, lovely to chat to you. We have
Thank you.
There seems to be a big concern about moths as well. You kind of tackled it earlier on, but...
My book, Gaff Goddess, has a whole section on moths because I'm obsessed with moths. So
okay.
That if anyone needs that, it'll help you save your expensive clothes.
All right. Listen, lovely to chat to you as always. Have a lovely evening, Laura. That is all from us today. Stay tuned for Sarah and Cormac on Drive Time. And I will chat to you guys tomorrow.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.